It seems Google was at a loss after the Supreme Court rejected a settlement deal allowing the media body digital rights to virtually every book that's been published in the US. But this was soon quashed by the presiding judge, Denny Hinn, who voiced concerns over the de facto monopoly that the search engine would possess. And while there's no argument that this access to information would be a powerful digital resource, communications law professor Michael Fraser says that to truly ensure this free flow of information that Google advocate, they need to be left out of the picture altogether. I managed to catch up with Professor Fraser to get his insight on this very shaky legal ground.
Well, there had been a couple of cases running, one by the Authors Guild and also another case by publishers in the US led by McGraw-Hill. But they put those cases on hold and tried to do a deal. How the Google Books service might work, what were the ground rules. And then that settlement had to go to court on a fairness test to see whether it would be approved as a fair settlement. And in the end, the judge, Denny, ruled that that proposed deal was not fair.
Mm. Now, I understand it was settled at $125 million US, and that the Guild and the publishers were happy with that amount. The judge ruled that this probably wasn't going to ensure them the most in terms of royalties down the track. Is this kind of a landmark case, trying to bring this to a court? Like, I mean, the idea of Google having this media ownership level, like a newspaper group in terms of the radio broadcast, well, that's competition and you can't sort of have that ownership. I imagine that this would have been a bit tougher to kind of pin down in a legal sense.
Yeah, there were a lot of rabbits running in this case. Google have been really active and imaginative in wanting to provide a better service for consumers online to be able to get access to content more easily, in this case, books. It's been very difficult for consumers who want to do the right thing and download stuff legally to be able to find and get what they want online. But there have been serious problems with the way Google has gone about it, and that's what's concerned authors and publishers.
I mean, does this sort of spell out a bit of a desperate situation for the kind of traditional publishing industry as we know it?
Well, I don't think so. I think there's a deal to be done. I think that authors and publishers can find a way of working with Google, hopefully not through the courts, but by getting a deal. One element will be, what is the payment due to authors and publishers for all this past copying? Will Google get 30% or more? Yeah. And the authors and publishers and artists and photographers and other copyright owners share the rest? That's part of the deal that has to be negotiated. The other problem that the court had with this proposed settlement was the orphan works, so-called orphan works.
Which means that you can't actually necessarily locate the person who has the rights to the royalties or the intellectual property itself.
That's right. That's where they haven't been able to find the rights owners of the book yet. And the proposed settlement was that Google would get the right to copy and market all these books where there was no rights owner found. And the other really controversial aspect of the deal was that it would apply across the English-speaking world, basically, and it would apply to all authors and publishers and all their books unless they opted out. So that would turn the basic principle of copyright upside down.
Copyright legislation has certainly seemed to be a big issue here in Australia. Yes. It's been accused of being extremely dated and not really reflective of this constantly evolving digital environment, which in turn is seeing a lot of people lose out on this revenue. With this in mind, how does this get addressed? How would they be accountable?
It comes down to how we deal with copyright and how we make it work in the digital environment. In my opinion, copyright is a very important law which protects works of the mind. individual creators can get paid and make a living. And that is a fundamental human right. I think an important thing will be to set up a registry of rights and of content so that people can find the content and access it legally. And those services, if they're to work, should be at least as good as the pirate services that people are attracted to now. Yes.
Would they have to be universally binding, though?
Yeah, they would. It has to work internationally. Mm. Whatever you do in one country won't be useful unless it goes across borders the way the web itself does.
Mm.
So we need to build up an international system for accessing content and downloading it lawfully. I think we'll be able to have a high-volume content market at a low cost and a low transaction cost.
With Google, I mean, we take them at their ideology that they are there to make it, you know, information to be public and accessible, and they have got, you know, some very interesting kind of sites, you know, their disclosure about government requests to bring down sites. So there is that notion, but I guess how much good faith can we really take a profit-generating search engine like Google, which is the giant, and then it suddenly all the information is being directed straight through that tunnel.
I think that is another crucial issue in this discussion about the settlement, is available through a public system which relies on public policy, the public library system, and it's governed in the public interest. Now, Google is trying to take on that role in the digital environment. That is putting tremendous power of access to the world's knowledge in the hands of a corporation. The flow of information controls the society. So there's a public policy interest, not just a corporate interest, that has to be managed here.
If we're looking at it on a global platform, just how far behind the mark is Australia really? I mean, we don't have anything enacted to protect our free speech. Got this filter looming in the horizon. Does this kind of make, will this, do you think, be kind of a springboard for the government to realise just how much needs to be kind of changed to reflect all these advances that kind of keep occurring?
Yes, I think that these kinds of efforts to build up an online knowledge economy are showing that there are gaps in the public policy of governments that need to make sure that the public interest is protected in these new arrangements. And so there needs to be work done by the Australian government to ensure that there's a public policy focus to these major developments.
Heading the Communications Law Centre within UTS, Professor Michael Fraser was speaking there.